Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Cooking Balls. This is the round two wrap-up for the AFL season. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask each week is the highlight of the week. So, Josh, you got a highlight of the week past?
Yeah, I found out I got 9 in the office dipping comp, so that moves you up to equal first.
There's a few perfect scores across the board this year. This week, compared to round one.
There have been a few tight buttholes with some of those games finishing up, too.
I didn't get 9. I missed out on the Tigers.
Oh, yeah. But as a North supporter, it must have been like a fair bit of that game where you're like, God damn it, I didn't tip my own team. Going to get 8, not instead of 9.
It didn't even enter my mind.
Didn't think you'd win?
Well, honestly, I didn't think North would come anywhere near it. I thought they'd give it a shake. But I knew they'd run out of legs in the last quarter because pretty much none of them had a full preseason.
Yeah.
But, it was one of those bittersweet parts, especially because... I was watching the game looking after the young lad, and I was massively distracted for a lot of it. Yep. And at the end of three-quarter time, I thought the game was over. Literally, I thought that was the fourth quarter. So you can imagine my bitter disappointment where I thought we'd managed to grind out a bit of a win, and then...
Thought the boys weren't celebrating too much?
Yeah, I thought, geez, they've taken that a bit easy. They must have been really smashed.
And then good for the rest of the season, too.
Noticed the heads-up graphic had 3Q on it, and I thought, That explains why there's no song, no celebration. And
just keeping a lid on it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And obviously that was kind of where a lot of the other players thought the game ended too.
Yeah.
So, Brenton, you got a highlight of the week?
Well, I didn't get to watch my Tigers play because I was working. So I had the girlfriend's birthday on the weekend. April Fool's, of course. That's when she's born. So I went out to Heston's for dinner, which actually really, really good. I was actually quite impressed by it. Serving sizes were actually... quite massive. I only eat 2 courses.
I know it sounds stupid to say, but I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Yeah.
Well, which, you know, expect for the ludicrous prices and the reputation that comes
with
it.
Yeah, that's it. And it's just like, it's a well-ordered machine as well. Like, from the service, from when you walk in, it's all, like, very, almost perfect, you know what I mean?
So, but, very much like watching the Tigers.
Yeah, well, let's be honest. I mean, you get drunk there, and that's about what gets you through it. speaking of drunk, I'm going to go through my beers of the week again.
Beers of the week, yes.
Beers of the week. I feel like we've been a bit harsh on the Adelaide teams the past preseason and whatnot.
Southwick Lager?
Those anti-gay guys, Cooper, that's what we got. No. And also, there's a Pirate Week coming up. So my beer of the week is the Pirate Life IPA. Small little brewery out in South Australia. Making a cracking IPA, nice big hoppy beer. Hop picking season too, so I'm guessing for next month I'm going to have big boy beers, big hoppy beers. So, yeah, get down. I saw they actually stocked them in Woolworths and shit. I don't know, whatever they're fucking...
Well, they don't have Dan O'Connell, then.
Dan Murphy's. Yeah, Dan Murphy's got a pretty good range now. So, yeah, my beer of the week is Pirate Life IPA. Get behind that one. It's a cracker of a beer. Perfect for the hop season now.
Well, my highlight of the week was I went to the Hawthorn Adelaide game.
Yep.
And now, as is tradition, whenever we go to the MCG, we check on the Scott's Transport box.
Yep.
I got 2 good pieces of news. One, it was still empty.
Yep.
But 2, I feel like we've been heard. There's a security guard out the front of it.
Oh, shit.
I was trying to think, how could I take a photo of him in front of the Scott's box without him thinking I'm taking a photo?
Just, excuse me, mate. Just doing some promotion for Scott's. Just get out of the way.
So I, even though I feel like we haven't been offered the box sitting role yet, I feel like they have heard us.
Yeah.
And they've decided to take measures. So I consider that a win.
Those measures didn't include dusting the place.
No. Still, nothing else had changed. The lights hadn't been turned on. The Guernseys were still up on the wall.
Yeah.
They've got moths in the Guernseys.
I think there's a few players still in them.
Yeah.
Like, you remember a couple of years ago when Gavin Wanganeen had his grand final Guernsey nicked and they gave it back to him?
Oh, yeah.
Port Adelaide did a video.
Yeah.
I reckon it was just hanging on the wall in the Scott's Transport box.
Probably.
No one had noticed. Anyway, so we'll get into the footy. We mentioned the Tigers. They're 2-2 on Thursday nights this season.
Yep.
This is, like I said, the one game I missed out on picking, but they went the hard way. about
it? Well, I mean, let's be fair. Collingwood messed up in the first half with a poor kicking, plenty of chances, kicking. And that's where they lost the game.
Oh, wasn't it horrible to see?
Yeah, it was terrible, terrible to see. Like I said, I catch a replay. I couldn't watch it live, which is unfortunate, but I had a little screen up at work following along. And I was like, oh, shit, here we go. Not again, not again. But look, it was just the forward line pressure from the Tigers sort of did it in the end. And I mean, it's about time Cochin had a captain's performance in a game that
certainly did.
When we needed it. So that was great to see as well. And young guys stepping up too. Like Dusty did his part, but you weren't Dusty reliant, which is good to see.
He was a bit cheeky, Dusty, at one stage. Remember, he...
Like Dusty, no.
He ran, fended off one player, fended off another, ran to another player just to fend him off. And then
got caught running.
I think
too
another
far.
One. Yeah, umpire's gone. You run too far.
Yeah.
Like, come on, those fend offs count as a bounce, surely.
And sometimes these don't argues are really looking for an argument.
Exactly. That was a.
It was a. Do I look fat in these jeans?
It's like a text from the wife that says, "Who's Jessica?
You over there? Smell my palm."
But I'll tell you what. If Richmond do manage to build on this start, it's going to be the biggest bandwagon you've ever seen, because last week Virat Kohli came out as a Tiger supporter, and I think around 500 million Indians jumped on board that shit.
Yep.
So if we end
you've
up
ever
with...
seen Indian train too, there's plenty of people putting space in that bandwagon.
Safety not a key idea.
We got Essendon Licton in that category.
But yeah, you can imagine I would really like to see Tigers play a game over in India. Just because then they could say they've expanded and they'd probably do a better job than Port Adelaide, and Koshy would lose his fucking mind.
I can say, if Gold Coast don't get invited back to China, take him to India.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, actually. Keep going. And I mean, they love their sport. Sure, they get behind a bit of AFL. I mean,
The thing is, I've heard that they've tried to, you know, they're trying to expand into other countries and stuff like that. India's the best place because they have cricket grounds.
Yeah. Also, live betting.
Yeah. Might be still illegal, but they don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Well, there's a will, there's a way. It's one thing they learned from the British.
And Pakistan.
You touched on a point there with Dusty. He still had a good game, and I reckon he might pick up one vote, but he wasn't the all-conquering that he was the last week, which is almost good for Richmond.
Exactly, yeah.
Because he was the sole reason they won last week in a pitiful display.
I was due to some real tight pressure as well. Like, he got marked pretty well. So it wasn't all just him sort of fading out. Collingwood did a great job sort of trying to hold him down. But the response to that, Richmond did a good job rotating people through the middle as well.
Yeah.
There weren't a solid structure in the middle. It was always people coming through.
How good was Nankivis?
Oh, my God.
Two solid efforts back to back.
He is shaping up to be, well, in the conversation for Premier Ruckman.
Yeah, and like we were talking about preseason, where Ruckman these days has got to be dual position players. It can't just be a straight out Ruckman. And the Curvis has proven his worth across that forward half line, taking marks. Also, not a bad kick. I mean, he's not great, but
for a Ruckman, he's good enough.
Yeah. Confident enough.
Is it Nankivis or Nankervis?
I don't know.
I've only just gotten around marriage.
Yeah. So, it was good to see the Tigers actually come out under the pressure against an old foe who usually they would fall in those moments. But Treloar, still outstanding.
Best on ground by
incredible game,
He played fantastic. Yeah. And it was Cochin that got him twice in the last quarter.
Yeah, his tackling was fantastic.
Wasn't it?
What I liked about it too was Cochin, he didn't... Remember last year he gave him a little pat on the head, bit him in the ass. This time he got him dead and buried, game's over, nothing.
Yeah, just exactly.
Nah. I'm professional now. Learned my fucking lesson.
I think they might listen to us too. It's got to embrace the bad boy image. I think that's the only thing we're going for at the moment is we can try and intimidate people because we don't have it on skills. So.
Yeah, I did see on Saturday, Dane Swan came out and said he's come back to Collingwood and Dusty's going to join him there next year. Obviously, Saturday being the 1st of April.
Yep. Collingwood, first club ever to be stood over.
It was funny to see a lot of the Collingwood supporters suddenly love Dusty until they realised what day it was.
Let's be honest, I mean, he'd fit right into a Collingwood fan base.
I love how, you know, when players move clubs, everyone's, you know, oh, I hate this bastard. Now he's at my club. Oh, yeah, he's great, he's great. I'll give you a tip. Hasn't happened with Tyrone Vickery yet.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that.
Let's be honest, once they play Richmond, he's going to turn one on. You can just see it.
All I'm saying, Richmond, 2-0, Hawthorn, 0-2, and Vickery's the difference.
Yeah, well, yeah, that and...
I've got no stats to back that up, but finals. I'm running with that.
But also, Will Hoskin-Elliott, what a great game by him. Kicking up 3 goals, got the ball when it mattered as well, and was one of the people that used it decently. Not perfect, but still room to improve. But getting around there to get it. So I thought he had a good effort.
I saw more of Pendlebury's game as well, because I was watching him for a little bit. He looks like he's now just settled into that senior role, because I think he's 29 or 30.
Around there, yeah.
Getting there now. And he's the type of player who's got that poise that he can keep going, I think, for 4 or 5 years. And he just sort of cemented that for me. It's good as well because you've got Adams and Treloar who can do the hard running grunt work. And Pendlebury will do the thinking for him.
Exactly. And Pendlebury can play any position on the ground, more or less. So he's much more versatile. And at that age, you don't want to be able to flog the guts out of him just because you have to, you know what I mean? So it's really good that Treloar also, Mayne got his first gig for the year. He was a late inclusion, I think.
Yeah, still in the leap, so.
It wasn't looking good for him. But they need him to stand up. That's the problem.
I'll tell you what, we bumped up Nankervis, and yet somehow Grundy needs a pump up too, because he had a great game. Despite Grundy the fact did. Playing on each other, they both had really impactful games.
Isn't it amazing? I think Grundy's turned into the player they hoped Josh Fraser would be.
That's fair.
That extra tall ruck rover. But he's far more mobile and, very, very handy.
How long is he contracted for? Because I can see him going.
He'll sign on again, don't worry about that.
Yeah, he'll have no worries with that.
Down back for that held Revolt. Side bottom, was it?
I think so. I think they swapped
Gold Sack.
Swapped off him, yeah.
Gold Sack
was marking very well.
For three quarters, perfect.
Kept him well under a blanket. Looked really good running off him too.
He's a quality player, so Gold Sack. I've always liked him.
Yeah, exactly. Another good win for the Tigers. Don't know how long we'll keep this up for, because we're going to come up against talent pretty soon.
Well, really, if the Tigers were 0-2, Hardwick would be looking at very hard, and I don't think he'd see out, you know, he wouldn't see the winter. But they're 2-0 and he's laughing. Next game, if he doesn't get sacked next week, he'll outlast the NRL Tigers coach for this year. So there's a first milestone down. On to the grand final replay and the unveiling of the flag for only the second time in their history. The Bulldogs turn it on against the Swans through most of the game. And to be honest, it was only through the brilliance of Buddy Franklin that Swans had a chance.
Yeah, we had a huge, was it last quarter? It kicked three in 5 minutes, something stupid.
It was amazing. And Sam Reid kicked six.
Yeah,
but Buddy gave him a few of those as well. Not that, you know, take nothing away from Sam Reid, but geez, doesn't it look more dangerous up front with him and Buddy rather than Buddy and Tippett?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm. And it's almost a blessing in disguise that Tippett has gone injuries again, I think, isn't he? Yeah. Did, I can't remember what he did, but yeah.
His ankle.
Ankle, yeah. So it's looking like, you don't need Buddy one out anymore because of people that can drop in there and fill it in. But still, it was the Western Bulldogs' ability to be able to spread from that midfield that ran off their feet.
Yeah. Cloak, Stringer and Boyd up forward too. Pretty nice bunch of blokes to kick to.
Yeah, I mean, a Cloak, I think, is much better without that pressure because he's not so reliant on him kicking goals in order for them to sort of reward the midfield for their hard work.
It is rewarding the midfield as well with Cloak, because he is that that get out for them that they have that the Bulldogs haven't had before. And it also lets the little fellas run around him.
Exactly,
but
right.
Jakey Stringer, you got Cloak in the goal square, Jakey Stringer out of the centre square.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It's tough,
He kicked two goals from the centre square?
Yep. Even Boyd put his hand up, took a bit of a...
Took a nice grab.
Took a nice grab, yeah. It was a round of nice grabs, actually.
Yeah. On Cloak, he's 4-2 for the season. So he's running it better than even money, which he hasn't done in recent memory.
Forever.
Lucky that doesn't show out of bounds on the full, too.
Yeah, true.
But let's move on.
He had some nice long passes for the first row.
Exactly, now, there were some contentious free kicks. The one, it was Alia called for holding Tom Boyd. That was one of the worst decisions I've seen, because it was barely a finger tapper. It was the worst decision until the next day, but never mind. But the rush behind, I had no problem with it.
I thought that was fair.
A little rush behind.
And I thought some of the worst decisions ever were a bit overstated too.
Oh, fucking hope they were.
I mean, it's all about the game being interpretive, and I like to see it go a step further and make it more interpretive. I think we should get rid of the goalpost. Maybe the goal umpire have to figure out if it was a goal or not.
Jumpers
just
to
really
goalpost.
Fuck with it. Yeah, that way we can get rid of the review.
Get the Oz kickers and put in their bags.
Yeah,
they can be the goalpost.
That way you can really, you know, just no sure thing ever.
Or just ped in the goal square at both ends.
Where else are we going with it? Oh yeah, on the good news for the Swans, Oliver Florent.
Yeah.
Running down JJ, who had no idea he was there, but being able to kick it from the boundary line, not a bad way to open your account.
Yeah, he's had a good good couple of games, actually.
Yeah, put him in JLT as well.
Put him in my Super League... Supercoach team. He's played well enough for the young people, what you expect from him. It's still going to be interesting where he slots into that side permanently.
I reckon he looks a bit like Jack Silvani.
Yeah, a little bit, actually. Yeah.
I know, I always like lookalikes.
Yep.
But what I was thinking when I was watching the game, too, when Buddy turned it on and started kicking those bombs from 60, what was great about it? Was as soon as he gets the ball, everybody knows what's going to happen.
Yep.
Everybody in the entire stadium, and they know it's going straight through the middle.
Yeah,
you're almost better off when he marks it on 60, give him the 50-meter penalty. Let him have a set shot from 10 out.
Yeah.
I'd rather he had a shot from there than on the angle from 55 on the run.
They call that a smart foul.
Yeah, a professional foul.
Yep.
Exactly. He is Shaquille. Like a 55-meter bomb is like a dunk.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that you know it because it's almost his trademark. It's his Air Jordan. You know what I mean? You see it, and there's nothing you can do about it. But, yeah, he almost changed the tire of that game on his own boot, which he's done many times. And so it was really interesting to see how they counteracted that. And they didn't.
They didn't. No.
they just
what do you do?
Kick more. Exactly. Yeah, they had to work harder.
Well, it was the Jordan rules. He can score his points. We'll just try and get more without him.
Yeah, they almost failed that one because he almost did it.
I tell you, it's worked many times before.
Yeah.
But the real problem for the Swans is Parker, Hanbury, Jack, and Kennedy.
Yeah.
None of them are dominating.
Yeah, they looked like...
They've looked slow.
Not just a chink in their arm. It looked like they had no enough armour anymore.
Yeah, you got to question, are they 100%?
Yeah, exactly. And like,
no, they're not.
They can't be. And then if they're not, why the fuck are they out there?
Yeah,
because Hanbury had a very interrupted preseason.
Yeah, well, you could get them
you
right.
Them on. Yeah, exactly.
Run them through the knee for
especially
them.
Especially like it's round one and two, so you put them out to start away the fuck you're doing them for a couple of weeks and then give young kids a run.
If you're putting men on the park that are not 100% at the first opening bounce, then you get what you deserve.
Yeah,
I think it's a bit mental too with... those young lads.
Could be.
Yeah. They're still waiting on Heaney to come back. Did he play the game? He's still
no,
week
he's
off.
Glandular fever.
Yeah, that's right.
So I don't think...
glandular fever.
Yeah, he won't be... They're not looking for him back this week, but the following week against West Coast.
Yeah. I'm guessing it's going to be a fitness test anyway, because that shit can, you know...
Your glandular fever comes back, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like you don't get rid of it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I think it's a bit funny sometimes.
Is that Ross River? I don't know.
Ross River definitely comes back. I think glandular fever can last a little bit, but I don't think you get it twice. But I'm not a doctor. Yeah.
There's been an outbreak at Ross River too, so I mean they're both similar.
Just because you're not a doctor doesn't mean you can't comment on medical things, apparently, in this internet age.
I think it's lupus.
It's got to be fucking lupus.
But there's another good up win for the Bulldogs. They've got an extra gear.
Yeah, I think.
They've got them all right.
They just got so many people that can put their hand up and, I mean...
And turn it up.
Yeah. There's always someone that's willing to
run. They run in packs for each other.
Yep. On that, I heard Jakey Stringer on the radio the morning after. And it was a very, to be honest, the first half was a very poor interview. It was just, nah. And then for some reason, he just loosened up.
Yep.
And he was talking to Robbo and Dermy. And they started asking about his kids and stuff like that. Because he's a young lad with a couple of kids.
Yeah.
And he started to really get into it. And they're saying, like, who around the club, you know, would be your babysitters? And he goes, oh, like, JJ's basically their stepdad. You know, he's here all the time. But he goes, we're at the...
Fuck, wouldn't that be a story?
We're at the function the other night and Libba offered his services. Not interested, mate. Don't need it at all.
I think Libba needed your babysat.
0% fucking chance.
Oh, my God. That'd be some stories, wouldn't it?
I did see their banner for Libba.
Yep.
Yep. I think it was...
100
great games and
for the Bulldogs
and one spectacular game for Vietnam Swans, whatever it was.
That's what it was,
yeah. It was brilliant.
You've done well. On to Saturday and
Port Adelaide's.
The Crows getting over the line against the Hawks. Hawks started off with the house on fire, kicked 6-1 in the first.
6-2.
Yeah.
There you go, 6-2. And then just slowed down from there.
Well, you're always waiting for it to happen, weren't you? Because it looked like the Crows were ready to turn it on, and there were too many contenders top contenders for Hawks to try and cover. I think the Hawks still lacking in some key positions.
Well, for my money, Tex Walker was the difference. 11 score involvements he had, which is, from a captain, brilliant. From a full forward, you might think, maybe have a crack at a few yourself, champ, but two-goal return for a full forward's not great, but 11 score involvements, geez, you'll take that every week.
And that's just what you need out of the big forwards these days, because it's very easy to lock them down with a team strategy in defence.
Well, I thought they actually did a good job on Tex, because they had Ryan Burton playing on him for a little bit, which I thought was weird. He's got Frawley down there.
Yeah.
But for me, the difference was Sam Jacobs. 100%. They couldn't McAvoy could not match him.
Yep.
And when McAvoy had to go on the bench,
yeah,
he absolutely towered up Vickery.
Yeah.
And they covered all the outlets, and every time Hawthorn kicked down the line, Sam Jacobs took a fucking contested mark.
And that's what Adelaide needed, was someone big to be able to play a key role down back against a key forward. Especially with Jenkins going down, what did he end up getting?
Looks like nothing now. It looked like when it went down, I thought that's a punctured lung.
Yeah,
without
exactly.
a doubt, the way he's acting.
Right on the point of the elbow.
No, he's a chance of playing this week.
Oh, wow. What a little soft cock. But I was thinking that Tigers might have snatched up mark of the round or whatever it was with Griffiths taking a hanger. Then Poplo came and.
What do you call that?
I don't know. You call it just bullshit, really.
Pushing the back.
It is a genuine, absolute screamer. Like Mark,
all leap.
Yeah, all leap.
Yeah.
One grab, two.
Yep.
You're going to say, Griffin must have looked at it and went, oh, fuck, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
I thought I was in a chance for Mark of the Year. I'm not even Mark of the Week.
Yeah, exactly right. And there were a few of them this week as well. So it was good to see Popolo at least giving something for the fans. You know, he still got the hops.
Yeah, took an amazing mark and then kicked it 20 metres backwards almost straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, for fuck's sake.
Yep.
But yeah, contested marks is where Hawks lost it. 22-6 or something like that it was.
Yep.
Could not take a mark to save their life, and I blame Tyrone Vickery.
So he had 9 hitouts, Tyrone.
Yeah.
Cyril Rioli had 2.
Yeah. Well, Cyril's the other interesting thing too, because he's had a second quiet week, but I reckon he was in the centre bounce maybe once for the entire day, whereas last year he was probably 3 or 4 a quarter.
Yeah.
So they're not putting him on the ball, which to me says... Maybe he's not quite right.
Yeah.
But like I said, you know, 5 minutes ago, if you go into games with players that aren't quite right at the opening bounce, you get what you deserve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're at the game. What was the crowd like? Was it a big crowd there? Or
just under 40.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah. It was a decent enough crowd.
It's not too bad. What about Amira run around? Is he right? Is he 100%?
He hasn't played in 2 years.
Yeah.
He's still getting up to it.
Just a bit of ring rust.
I think he's 100%, but yeah, it's ring rust. It might be confidence in himself.
He had 36 touches. Not a bad day out.
He had 36, but only because the stat sheet said so. Mm. You wouldn't know it watching.
Yeah.
And same with Tom Mitchell. I think they had 70-odd between them.
Yeah.
But they weren't damaging.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem with Hawthorn at the minute. When they're at the stoppages, like little handballs to each other, everybody's standing still.
Yeah.
So the one bloke can cover all of them. And then when the opposition has the ball in the same situation, there'll be like 3 Hawthorn defenders and they all go straight to the ball.
Yeah.
Which means a little dinky handball over the top and they're away.
Yeah. But you find that a lot in some teams now where it's almost assumed that a player is good by himself. Like those one percenters don't matter as much anymore, where you'll see 2 people go off the ball, one will run off instead of putting their shepherd and giving the friend the space up just to get the ball back themselves.
Yeah, and that's confidence in your teammates. And that's what the Bulldogs do.
Yeah.
One bloke goes in, well, he's got it, I can get the next one.
Yep.
It's not happening at the minute.
What's the record for tackles in the game? Liberatore has it.
They spoke about 100 times on Friday.
I've got a feeling it was about 18.
Yeah, 18, 19.
Yeah. Rory Sloane had 15. So he got pretty damn close to that.
Yeah, he had a very quiet game though, Rory, I thought.
Looks like 16 tackles. That's a damn good game if you're playing a shutdown role.
Not for your number one playmaker though.
No, 25 disposals with it and 1 goal, 1. It's not a bad return. Plus 6 marks.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, it was a better game than I thought watching it. But like, what's his name? Mackay?
Mackay.
Have I gone wrong?
Mackay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a great game.
Yep.
He stood up and that's where you didn't expect it. And Charlie Cameron.
Yeah. Well, he's one that we pegged preseason to stand up and have a big year.
He's had a big year. He started off on the right foot.
He's a talent.
He's definitely got the skills. He's slick.
Yep.
Yeah. Reminds me of Gilbert McAdam.
Gilbert McAdam.
Go on, wind it back.
Here we go.
For the Saints, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just that that clever slickness, but also workmanlike about his ability to run.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like the last couple of years he's been a little goal sneak, and now he's not just a goal sneak.
Yeah.
He can still kick him around the corner without looking, no worries. Mm. But he's also a link player.
And it's more confidence, I think, that he's found, because at times he was good at finding space, but second-guessing himself a little bit. But he can really take a game on.
And maybe comfortable in his position.
Yep.
Doesn't have to worry that he's going to get dropped next week.
Yeah, and I think with the Adelaide Crows, is that their mid-tier players have really stepped it up this year especially. And I think that's what's been a big difference in them being able to be resilient in a game, and if one person's fallen down, they've always got people that are going to put their hand up and come through. Rory Ladd has been a standout for the first couple of games.
Charlie Cameron's still got 9 tackles, so that's pretty good return. Like, anytime you see midfielders with decent tackles and a bit of disposal, you're thinking, these boys are hungry, they're on.
Yeah, and it's all about pressure as well, because especially from forward line pressure, you need your midfielders to be up there and be aware as soon as the point's there, because you can't let them get out quickly. That's what makes a difference, especially at the MCG where you've got lots of space.
It was funny with Eddie Betts as well, because I thought Eddie Betts was beaten on the day.
Yeah.
He probably only impacted the game maybe four times.
Yeah.
Kicked three goals.
Yeah.
And that's how good he is.
Had a cracker goal too from the check side from the corner.
A couple of them from the corner. And one, the one where he faked, was it? I think it might have been Frawley was the man on the mark. Ran and kicked it on his left without a problem.
Yep.
From about 35 to 40.
To be honest, that was terrible from Frawley to fall for that one.
Wasn't it?
That was fucking horrible.
You talk about Buddy, when everyone knows what he's going to do. Yeah. Everyone knows exactly what Eddie bets. Buddy forced him to go left, and Eddie said, I can do that.
Yep.
I didn't mean to do that.
I'm Eddie, I can do those things. But the thing is, too, like, Eddie, to me, will always have an impact because the team has to be aware of him. Like, even if he doesn't touch the ball all day, you can guarantee everyone's looking at him.
Yeah.
The opposition, I mean.
Yeah.
So he's a brilliant weapon to have in the forward line. Yeah. The forward line that also boasts Jenkins and Walker.
Yeah, he takes a good defender. That's what he does.
Yeah.
He scares the shit out of defenders because no one wants to end up on the fucking highlight reel of the week.
Yeah, exactly.
And he can do that in the air or on the boundary.
And that's one thing that Adelaide have proved again this season is a bit more intimidation, a bit more toughness. Especially Matt Crouch doing good things in the middle as well. Like he's almost turned into what Ed Curnow should have been if he didn't get injured. So that's what they needed, someone that's going to be hard running and put a bit of fear into the opposition.
Well, you need that intimidatory sort of level. And they've got a McGovern in there too, which is always handy to have.
I wouldn't call him intimidating, McGovern, though.
His last name's intimidating.
Yeah, if you've been getting confused.
Old spaghetti arms it is. It was a good weekend of footy, but that can't be said for Giants versus the Suns.
Well, it's good if you're a Giants supporter.
Is that our first 100-point drubbing for the year?
As I'm aware, I'm pretty sure.
I don't think there was one last week, but I could be wrong.
No, because it was Brisbane versus Gold Coast, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that was 1 point or something.
Yeah.
That's right, because the Crows were the biggest winners of the week before. Yep. It wasn't 100. This is kind of what we expected from GWS. Everyone thought they'd get the wake-up call the week before, and out they come.
Yeah, I mean, they had, what was it, like three or four people kicking over four goals each or something like that.
Green taking good marks.
Yeah, kicked five, I think.
Yeah, and Cameron, just whenever he felt like it, ran out and away he went.
Actually, one of the young lads on Reddit put it pretty succinctly in that on-field leadership is where they're fucked.
You talking about the Suns?
The Suns,
yeah.
Like G. Ablett, brilliant player. Don't get me wrong, but who's their on-field leader? Like you look at teams that could have used a bloke like Sam Mitchell and Gold Coast to be the number one. Although, why the fuck he'd go there, I have no idea. But look, if they're not throwing money at someone like say even Luke Hodge, he probably wouldn't take it. But you've got to make that offer because who would be on-field leaders that they might be able to attract?
No one.
Yeah, trying to get a good pharmacist in China, I think.
Yeah, like it's one of those ones where, who are the best captains going around at the moment, you reckon?
I mean, you can have a Selwood or he's not something going. Like that, but I think they can't say anybody over 30. Forget about recruiting over 30s.
Yeah.
Actually, forget about 27.
Yeah.
Let's just leave that out. Yeah. Because you get a 29-year-old in the Gold Coast, he's probably not going to play finals there.
Exactly, yeah.
Regardless how good, because his career's just not going to be that long.
Yeah.
I think they've finally got the right leadership there in Lynch and May.
Yeah.
But they've been there for 5 minutes as leaders.
Yep.
May to me is the one.
Yeah, it definitely. And he is a, come with me, type
exactly,
of
thing. Exactly, yeah.
Lynch is a freak forward and an athletic monster. But, I mean, they haven't had Ablett out there for 2 years, really.
Yeah.
Now he's out there and it looks like he's come back to reality.
Yep, yeah.
Almost like we thought this was...
He's Jordan in 45.
He's Jordan at the Wizards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jordan in 45 was still pretty decent.
Yeah, he was. He was good for half a season.
Yeah. But, and the thing with May is that he's one of the people that will still get pissed off about this loss, whereas everyone's like, oh, that's what we expected kind of thing. He's always defeated.
That's what I fucking hate, is when teams have honourable losses and they're like, yeah, no, we're pretty happy with that. Fuck you.
Yeah, this wasn't honourable.
No, and you get done by 100 points, you should be hurting. Every fucking player should be hurting.
But I mean, even in the last quarter, the game's over, and they're still, 8-1?
Yep. Exactly. And I saw online people complaining about the crowds there. And it's like, well, who's going to get a big crowd against Gold Coast this season? It's not going
to
happen.
I mean, the novelty of going to watch Ablett, like we said, it's not there anymore.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
It'll be there at Skilled Stadium next
definitely
year.
Definitely. Yeah. Pretty much longer. And see, I'm watching again.
That's me. How bad does Gold Coast have to be that you'd leave the weather and the lifestyle you get there to go to Geelong?
It's up there. I mean, you've obviously he's got a job in Geelong, which is, something.
Whatever he wants.
Not everyone there in Geelong can say.
Not many other people in Geelong can.
Yeah, anyone can be mayor there, so.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's gone through all the mistakes the Suns have made over the years.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're going to improve until Rockets moved on.
Yeah.
And whoever is in their development or recruiting.
Yep.
I want to see May get pissed at other players. I want to see him turn into that don't fuck up my club sort of bloke.
Yeah.
Or maybe they can have a line in the sand game 10 weeks in a row.
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, if all the players are going to miss through injury, like last year they had, 24 fit players at one stage? Fuck it, let's make sure we're going to miss.
Yeah.
They might look a bit better next year when they've got Andrew Swallow up there.
Well, actually, speaking of coaching changes, Solly got accepted into the
level five, the head coaching
academy or whatever it is. I think it's only three people get accepted a year or something like that. So
it's very, very small numbers.
Yeah, he's got some options there, but let's be honest, he's not going to stay there.
For his sake, I hope not.
Yep. Can you imagine that? Like they come in, we're looking at moving Rocket on. Congratulations, you got the job. Can I think about it? Oh, can I get back to you Monday, maybe?
You do a caretaker.
Yeah,
caretaker exactly. Doesn't harm your chances.
Caretaker's great.
Well, I mean, Brendan Bolton got a job basically by being a caretaker.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Without those five rounds, I don't think he's coaching Carlton.
Yep, that's a fair call.
Do you reckon he wishes he'd thrown those games now?
No, I think he loves coaching. I think he could lose 22 games a year, but if they put in an effort, he'd be like, man, I'm so happy, so proud of my boys. You couldn't disappoint him.
Yeah.
On to Essendon and Brisbane. Brisbane looked like they were going to steal this one for a moment.
It was a better game than I thought it would be.
I thought it had I thought it'd be okay, but yeah, I agree. It was better than I thought.
Although the major disappointment I have, because Brisbane put in a good effort.
They did.
I felt. Except for Daniel Rich.
Yeah. He hasn't kicked on, has he?
No, he showed a lot, probably, was it 2 or 3 years ago?
Oh, he won the Rising Star?
Yeah.
I can't remember. And he beat Nick Nat.
He looked like a tank at that stage, a mobile tank. He had great run, great hardness, fantastic decision making, and since then, I don't fucking know.
I'm trying to think who it was, but one of the forwards up there said he was the best kick to a lead that they'd ever seen.
Yeah.
He said it was amazing how good it was.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's never really gone through. Mind you, he hasn't had much else to work with around him either.
Exactly. And he's been a bit of a workhorse in the middle as well, which didn't allow him to prove what he can do sort of in the free flow of the game. He's always in and under. Well, I found he's got a huge boot. Like I said, there's a lot of times he's the one that's putting off the hands to people because he's the one doing all the hard work under the pack. So it's tough for him to really explore what he's capable of.
I'll tell you what, Hipwood's going to be a great player once he finds a barber and the weights room.
Yeah, they've got a few of them though.
I don't know if he's eligible for the Rising Star, but if he is, he might give it a shake.
Yeah,
he probably played too many games last year, but
I'm not sure.
I could look it up, but I couldn't be asked.
No, and I mean, from this game, Brisbane looked like going to get there, but you never thought they would, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
so even when they're coming back, really you're like, it's kind of, you hope they get there, but there's still a bit too much talent on the other side. Zach Merritt's been a standout for Essendon again. He's one of the, what was he, like top 10 draft pick from,
I don't think, no, he's
like 50
top
or
10.
Something like
that. He was well down.
Like three years ago, really stepped it up. Yeah. One of the players that really benefited out of everyone else being off for a year.
By far,
you've got to be excited about him. Fantasia as well.
Him and Fantasia are going to be a real duo.
Yeah, and lots to be excited about Essendon. So get your hopes up, get on the bandwagon, and let's watch the wheels fall off.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Collier was all right, I thought.
Collier was all right.
Collier and Watson. I thought they had they contributed quite positively.
I thought Watson was better this week than he was last week.
Yeah, he's...
Not that he was bad last week, mind you, but...
He's the best ex-Brownlow medalist I've seen.
But the thing is, I still believe in Brisbane. I still think they've got a good centre structure there. It's just a matter of whether they can fill it out before they get a bit too old. I found that Dane Beams has come back from injury and really turned it on.
He's done well.
Especially, he's captain now, isn't he?
Yes.
Beams captain, so he's taking that on his back and push forward.
And there's some really good plays with Rockliffe as well.
Yeah, and him and Zorko work really well together, I thought. And Zorko's always been a gun. So if they can just flesh out that squad, they've got something there, I think.
Oh, their bookends, they've got to wait till Shaki's ready, because he didn't play.
Yeah.
And Matheson, I don't think Matheson played either.
No, right.
So, you know, a couple of their young high draft picks that they're waiting still. So, yeah, you're right. I think they do have a call there. Maybe three years' time.
Yeah.
Provided nothing else. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Martin had a good game too. I mean, you know, he's only rucking against McKernan, but he still had 40-plus hitouts to McKernan's 20.
Can't argue with that.
That's fair enough, yeah.
That's what he should be doing too.
Absolutely. Yep. He should be probably a bit more, to be honest. But, did a good job, and I hope he can get back to the form that he threatened to have a couple of years back.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he's still a massive fucking beast.
He's a monster.
Yep.
He wants to be. On to the other Saturday night game, and again, much better than I thought it was going to be. I thought this was going to be close to 100 points.
Yep, I thought it was going to be a whitewash.
And to be honest, St Kilda should have probably won it.
They should have, yeah. It's just not being able to put together four quarters again for Saints. They did three. They improved, but they're still not there to really nail it. And, I mean, bad kicking really lost them the game as well.
Six goals, seven in the opening quarter. And let go, you know, a couple of late goals in that quarter.
Yeah, exactly.
It should have been over. That should have been a 10-goal quarter.
Yeah. And that's the difference between the teams that are a little bit fragile. I think I put Richmond in that category and Collingwood in that category as well, where momentum is a big part of their game. When they don't have it, they can get lost. And when they do have it, they don't make the most of it.
Well, who was the last Western Australian to kick 100 goals in the season?
Sumic, if he did.
I don't know. Be going back a fair while. I reckon Kennedy, give it a shake.
Yeah, well, he was actually well held for the majority of the day.
And that's what I mean. Like, his accuracy, though, has been spectacular so far.
Well, he kicked 7-0 the previous week. And what did he kick this week?
He kicked 4-1.
4-1, so 11-1 so far. See, that's the difference in these sides. Like we said, St Kilda wasted their opportunities early on.
Yeah.
At the end, in the final quarter, the class of West Coast just stood up.
Yeah, exactly.
And you see, he's got it again. And, you know, they kept finding Kennedy.
Yep. And I think it was just a repeated effort. St Kilda just grew wearisome for them.
Yeah.
You know, it was really hard to keep that up over four periods and not get the reward out of it.
But it's with Kennedy, I find his accuracy makes you even more wary of him. Because you look at Cloak, you get Cloak and even Buddy to a point. You give a mark away 40 out, you know, reasonable angle, and you think, there's a chance he'll miss this. You know, I might be saved. With Kennedy, you better really fucking be praying. Because if there's any chance it's going through post-high in the middle.
Out of all the key forwards, certainly the one you'd most trust from a set shot in the AFL at the minute.
Yep. Absolutely.
And I don't even think you could throw another name up there to even contest.
A couple of years back, Bruce went, 30 goals straight?
Something ridiculous like that. But even he's not that reliable anymore. He had a shocker last year. Kennedy just keeps going from strength to strength.
Yeah, and I think Saints needed Carlisle to really do something, but he's just too green. Maybe he won't actually get there. I'm still not convinced. And they've got a hole in their back line. They need a big man like him to fill, or like Hugh Goddard to come back, or someone to really stand up. Don't know if he's the man. I think they might have got the dud end of that trade.
I'll tell you what, I'm glad North made Jack Zeeble captain, because otherwise he'd end up at the Saints.
Another
Jack.
By the name Jack.
Speaking of North, then, on to the Sunday. And again, a game that I thought was going to be closer to 100 points than one.
Yep.
But North showed something, I thought. You talk about honourable losses. I think this is the most honourable loss I've seen. They gave their all for it.
It's a heartbreaker. It is a heartbreaker for the North team.
Like I've said last week, North had such an injury-interrupted preseason. I knew they were going to drop off in the fourth quarter. I was disappointed that the end of the third wasn't the end of the fourth, like I said earlier. But a lot of good things come out. Losing Goldstein the night before, not ideal. But Prius, I've been on the bandwagon for a while now, and he played bloody well, I thought.
He got away with a fine for his charge. One thing I'll say about it, I 100% believe he didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah.
He is just that uncoordinated and doesn't know what he's doing that he's driven the knee square into somebody's back.
Yeah, it was funny. Watching this game, all I could think of was that Brad Scott's doing his best to get that Richmond job next year. if Damien Hardwick fucks up, he's got to be... No, just from performance-based, it'll be. If he loses by 1 point from that sort of game, yep, definitely got the gig.
Even though Paddy Dangerfield had 38 touches,
yep.
Certainly... wasn't as damaging as last time. Last time, we said
48.
Yeah.
48, and you know, it was a shame we could only get three votes.
Yep.
He might not get three votes on this one. He still might.
Yeah.
But I thought they did a lot better, not playing Zeeble on him, but trying to play people around him and run off him.
Exactly. And like you're talking about before with the Jordan rules, where you give him his 35 possessions and try and clamp everyone else down. And I think that's what they did.
Well, it's always been contain Paddy and make him kick it early because his disposal can let him down at times.
His pace as well, he can get away from you as well.
Oh, geez. Yeah. You don't want to be standing side to side.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, the amount of times we kicked across the back line and his pace just fooled everyone and intercepted.
Yeah.
Why the fuck they kicked near him is beyond me. But... that was, I think it was Scott Thompson, and he's let his displeasure be known with Patrick Dangerfield, which has given him a two-match holiday.
You got two matches for that?
Really?
Yeah, poor lad. I missed that MLP. Poor lad.
Yeah, it was two down to one, I believe.
Right, there you go. So you'll sit out next week.
Yeah, so there's two surprises. One that they gave him two initially, and the second that he's got a good enough record that it gets down to one.
Well, he's never really been someone to get reported. He does all the...
Oh, he's niggle. He's obviously most famous one is deciding to hip and shoulder Barry Hall.
Which
while
I love
doing,
him for.
While he's doing his boots up.
That's poking the bear because the price is too good.
Yeah.
That's just... Fuck, mate, you're going to get yourself killed.
It's backing yourself as a quick runner.
Even though Hawkins kicked four, I thought Tarrant did a good job.
Yeah,
to be honest, and became damaging.
But those four were on Thompson, not on.
Oh, were they?
Not on Tarrant. Tarrant was all over him, and vice versa too. Because I think Hawkins gave away about three in the back kicks.
Yeah, Thompson, no shocker.
So when you talk about Prius's knee, it was pretty much the same as what Hawkins did to Tarrant in the third quarter, except Hawkins did a full fly kick into Tarrant's kidney. Although Hawkins was going with the flight instead of into it, and also, well, I don't know what Hawkins runs around at, but it's probably 100.
105. Yeah.
I think Preus is around 112, so bit of difference in momentum in the two, but enough that you wouldn't want to be on the end of either.
Yeah, if I had my choice, I'd rather be facing up against Hawkins, though, I think.
Yeah.
Mind you, I get killed in 3 seconds flat anyway, so it's much of a muchness, but all I'm saying is...
Forgot the takedown.
Head movement.
But the thing is, with Prius getting off, you know what that sets up for next week? It's the Prius v. Mumford show.
Ooh.
Which I am fucking stoked about.
I tell you what, WrestleMania was today, but we might have it again.
Goldstein, his ankle... May benefit from another week off.
I'm going to say, I think we all benefit if it happens another week off. I want to see it.
Oh, it's going to be classic because, you know, it's every story you want to have. The young rookie coming through, not so young, but whatever. Fuck it, it's a good story. The bear of a beast of a man ready to, you know, fight on his last few years for a premiership. Fuck, I can't wait. I'm stoked. It's at Blunstone Arena, so eight people see it.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I'm not going to bother going to it.
It'll be a bit of a trek, but
a family event.
I'll record that one.
Yeah,
but and anyway, by record, I mean I'll watch the highlights later.
Menzel got four straight, which was a best return from him I've seen in a while.
Yeah, he is good. I think he kicked four in his comeback game because he's the lad that's had four knee recos or something like that.
Yeah,
So it is amazing that he's got as long a leg as he does, considering all those ops.
Yeah, he's 6-2 for the season. So he 2-2 last week.
It's a good return, actually. Yeah.
Benny Brown, though, took some screamer marks.
Didn't he?
The problem was Mad Jack Doyle was right fucking next to him every damn time.
Yeah.
It's a shame, isn't it? Injuries are going to keep Mad Jack in the team. But to be honest, I haven't seen anything yet that justifies his place on the list.
I don't know. He looked to have a bit of a torque through the knee. So the only other big bloke coming through was McKay, and he's a rookie with no top flight experience. So
throw him against Mumford. See how he goes.
Yeah. Fuck it. That's what I reckon. Bring him in. Let he and Prius decide, all right, you want to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Sure.
And maybe a steel chair gets involved. I don't fucking know. It should be great.
Worth a shot.
See, I think for Doyle, you've got to either make a defender out of him or he's not, don't bother, because you're not going to learn the skills to be able to be an offensive player.
I don't know how much of my optimism about him is wanting him to be good, But
all of it,
more than likely, his highlight reel is brilliant.
I think legitimately, that's what optimism is.
That's in the Urban Dictionary.
But look, if he's out for a couple of weeks, which is entirely possible, I don't know if he gets back in the side, because right now Brown, Prius, Goldstein easily in front of him.
Yeah.
Realistically though, 0-2 for North. They've shown something though.
Yeah.
I thought they've actually looked good.
It's definitely not panic state. Look at
the endeavours there. They're not going to win six games this year, I don't think.
I saw Jai Simkin. He had a shocker from 25 out.
Yeah.
I actually think it was even less than that. But had a beautiful running goal where he's just palmed off, I think it was even Tui, palmed him off on the boundary line, ran forward to 50, smacked it right through the middle. And having a rookie in his second game have the guts to do that after missing a set shot from 25 out, I think it was brilliant, and looks like he could be something.
Well, it's going to be that kind of year for North that they try and find players like Simkin, or you know, find what they're made of.
Yep. Mm. And for West Coast, it's
Geelong.
It's a good sort of pressure builder for them. You know what I mean? Yep. It's not going to be easy sailing, so they get the one on the belt. It gives them a bit of confidence in the contest now. So
play bad and still win. Yep. You know, some area that they lost the game, and it is Prius, whatever his fucking name is.
Yep.
His inexperience. But I thought really some dumb things happened. Late in the game, we all know with the now you've got to nominate your ruckman rule.
Yep.
Geelong opted not to nominate a ruckman in their own forward 50. And you can even hear the umpire said, North only.
Yep.
So that means you got a free shot at this.
Oh, really?
Ruck. And I thought, okay, here's your chance. Thump it 25 metres forward, and your players know it's going to go 25 metres forward.
Yep.
Because it didn't happen once. It happened at least three or four times that I saw. Yeah. Instead, what he decided to do was the tiniest tap down to whoever's running through.
Yep.
And it's much their fault as it is his.
Yeah.
Because if you've got a free go at this in your forward 50, push it out to a running man rather than dropping it at your feet. And that's how Geelong got the last goal.
Yeah.
Well, because they fucked it up.
What they needed was a Sean Griggs.
Well, Prius smashed it in the hitouts, 46.
Because he's rocking literally against no one.
Yeah. But I think the next one was Stanley with 14, so that's how dominant he was. But you're right, the centre clearances were smashed by Geelong.
You've been told you've got a free shot at this one, and the tap would have went 20 centimetres in front of him. And it's the midfielders are the ones to blame, really.
Exactly.
Because he's a second gamer. They should know, all right, we've got a free shot at this. Mate, 10 metres that way, I'm going to hit it flat out.
Yep.
Do you reckon they went into the game thinking that was a possible tactic, though?
Never. But
you're thinking, hang on, what the fuck are we going
to
do here?
When you're told North only, you've got 2 seconds to figure it out.
Yeah, see, if they
that's plenty.
If they slid Frito, he would have been all over that.
He would have called North only.
Brent Harvey would have been the one putting his hand up, saying, I got this one.
Anyway, it was a good loss. I think North actually got more out of it than the Cats did, besides premiership points.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, for North, it was one of the few games where I felt like there were no true passengers. Marley Williams, I thought, was also doing pretty well.
And he had a great
game.
Higgins had the best game I've seen him have in probably a year.
Since last season, yeah.
Yeah.
On to Melbourne and Carlton. And Carlton looked like they were threatening this for a little bit. But Melbourne took the fight up to them. Sometimes a little bit too much.
Well, I thought this was a game of youngsters stepping up.
I
thought that there were some real good signs from both teams. What I found was that, especially in the centre clearances, I thought that Carlton got almost the best of it, but only because, I mean, Gorn's one of the best tap-down ruckmen in the competition.
Without a doubt.
There was no sort of fighting for position from the Demons players. It was sort of, we'll just see where it goes and then we'll try and get it first. Until we got Oliver coming into the middle.
Yeah.
He's one person that always, like, getting right in the ribs of his opponent, getting in front, make sure he's going to be first to the ball. And that proved a big difference in the last quarter when they actually got in front, with putting him in the middle and really injecting that bit of mongrel into it.
Which is almost a shame, because that's why you've got Jones, Lewis and Viney to do that. But I tell you what, the young lad's standing up. There's 2 weeks in a row now. He's been a clearance king.
Yeah, and it's been on the other side as well. The Marchbank for Carlton had a great game. I can't remember the name of the other youngster. Had a gun game. Another M1. Had a shocker the week before. Anyway.
Lockie Plowman.
Plowman it was. Both of them stood up. Even Silvani did a lot. And did a lot off the ball as well, not just being a lead-out player. So I thought they were both positives for both teams there. And they were the ones that you want. The youngsters coming in, playing a role, sort of make an impact on the game instead of just being sort of secondary or opportunistic.
But it's dumb mistakes has really cost Melbourne, this one.
Yeah.
And Jordan Lewis, okay, he's got a bit of a history of doing this, quite literally.
Yeah.
But Jesse Hogan, it was just absolutely fucking pointless.
It was a jumper punch without the jumper.
Oh, well, Jesus Christ.
Here's the thing, I was looking at it, and I mean, my first instinct was a bit of admiration. I was like, that was a great instinct. Like, just that step back, overhand left, like Conor McGregor style. I thought Conor McGregor would be really proud of that punch.
Is it Conor v. Aldo?
Yeah, exactly like that. But then you're like, hang on, no, football. Not the same rules.
And 2 metres in front of the umpire.
Exactly,
I mean, not that it matters these days with the cameras, but...
And he was getting the best of his opponent too, so it wasn't really necessary, you know what I mean? He
kicked a couple of nice goals.
Yeah.
He's having a good day.
Presenting down the field, he did an excellent job, like pulling his opponent down the field and giving himself a bit of space, running towards goal, opening up for lots of the young players to drop down there and kick goals.
But he can't challenge it.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got to cop it.
Yep. What I did find funny too is for years and years, Lewis has had a reputation, let's be honest, and... people have called him names under the sun, but all of a sudden he goes to Melbourne and all Melbourne supporters think he's great.
Oh, I thought he was unlucky.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, that's bullshit. He shouldn't get it. He should have got, you know, a fine. And then, no, he broke Cripps' jaw.
Like, our lawyers will get him off.
Yeah. We could tie this up at Supreme Court.
Literally broke his jaw. What I do love is, so Lewis got suspended. Yeah, and then there was the free kick on Friday night with a rush behind.
Yeah.
Both supporters of those teams found a way to blame Hawthorn for it.
There's still a bit exaggeration of the worst call ever. Like, we've seen some shit calls. These were the worst calls ever.
Yeah, the push in the back on Poppy was one of the worst calls ever. It's right up there.
It's up there, but we're still seeing some absolute wrong calls, you know what I mean? Like, that one, you're like, oh, I can see how you could have taken it that way, but it's wrong.
I haven't seen that call, but I'm going to assume it was deserved.
Yeah. Also, Garlett had a great game. Four quarters he played.
That chase down tackle right at the
incredible.
End.
Incredible.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
I think, you know, what was disappointing was not every man went to pat him on the head after kick that goal.
Yeah, exactly.
That was fantastic. Not really game winning, but it put the nail in the coffin.
He did plenty of like little bits here and there to really turn the momentum around for the D's. And they had Petrarca. He was so good around his feet and ankles. Like, for a big man, very, very agile, very, very sort of... Yeah, Petrarca.
Yeah. He's still a big lad.
Very
he's 6'2".
Dexterous. Yeah.
About that.
There you go.
He was only like 19, 20 years old, isn't he?
I think he was only 18.
Second year.
Yeah. So, really good around his ankles. I thought, he was really impressive. And obviously, Christian Salem had a great game as well.
Mm. I thought Gorm was a bit quiet, to be honest.
Yeah, well...
Like, by his standards.
By his standards.
You know, Cruiser, I think... Gorm probably won that duel, but not by as much as I thought he would.
Well, Cruiser made him be accountable for him down the field too. Like, Cruiser presented himself across that half forward line, like I was saying last week.
Cruiser loves a shot at goal.
He's a great mark.
He's a good mark, and like, reliable. You can't sleep on him. You can't sleep on him because he will burn you across the other side of the ground.
He's a very mobile bloke for someone his size.
And also, I found that Carlton's ability to spread the ground was very good as well in order to try and get that fast running game. And it's all about, what I noticed is that we talked about it last year as well, is that this fast running game depends on getting that ball to the flanks, the back flanks. That way you can open up the field ahead of you and go both ways, and opens up the corridor as well because you spread their zone. And that's one thing that Carlton were doing very well until Melbourne clamped down on it, and then they sort of turned the tide by doing that.
But I do think for this match, this is a net positive for Carlton.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, you know, it hurts to lose, especially when, you know, you were in the game in the third quarter. But I think a lot of their good players had good games.
Yeah, they've just got to get some their skill errors still around the place. But they're a young side.
Exactly.
And if you take last year and this year and combine them, they've already won more games than I thought they would in the two years. So the improvements there. And like I said, Plowman and Marchbank especially are going to be an absolute giant duo. Yep. For years to come.
Yeah.
Right now, they're like, you know, newborn giraffes just running around falling over everywhere. But in a couple of years, they're going to be the tightest defense going in the league.
Mm-hmm. They're missing that clutch win the game for us player, but one of them could very easily emerge.
Yeah, I'm going to say, he's probably there. He's probably 20 years old. You know, Cripps might be that guy. I mean, he's going to be an absolute star.
Yep.
Or it could be young Kerno.
Yeah.
Or Silvani.
And Kerno played a good four quarters as well, never gave up. Murphy.
Ed, you mean? Or?
Yeah, Ed. Kind of, yep. Yeah.
On to the final game of the round, and there's not much we really need to say about Power versus Freo. Power were absolutely dominant from the opening bounce.
Yep.
Robbie Gray kicked six. What do you have, 28 touches or somewhere thereabouts?
He had as many touches as he fucking wanted.
Didn't get out of third gear.
30 touches.
30 touches, yeah. Six goals, 30 touches.
Seven marks.
And to be honest, I thought it looked like he could give a harder effort if he wanted to.
Yeah, yep.
which says about how good he is and how shithouse Freo were.
It was good to see young Bietti get 11 touches, two goals, three.
Yeah, not too bad.
Could have been a bit more accurate around goals. Found but, you a know. Bit of it.
And Salt and Pepper giving the don't argues again. Oh,
how good does that look?
I'll tell you what.
Second game. Unbelievable.
They've started recording broken tackles only in the last 5 or 6 years. So Dusty's got the record. Salt and Pepper's going to have it before long.
Yep.
I put him in my dream team, not knowing who the fuck he was, and I'm fucking stoked now.
I put him in there Monday, that's for sure.
I'll tell you what, the old rising star, he got the nomination in round one. I don't think they've announced who got round two yet.
He again.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, he's going to give it a shake because he's playing 22 games.
Exactly. Yeah, that's for sure.
And
for sure.
His body's right. His body's ready for it. So he's not he's not walking in and out of the under-18s like, waiting to see the weights room. He's ready, and he's dominating.
Yeah, and Freo, you just don't know where do they start sort of this rebuild. Yeah. Can we say that word?
The thing was, they had the ball. Like, look at Neil, Hill, and Fife, all had 30-plus touches.
Yeah. And that's where it ended.
But you're right. Between the three of them, though, I don't think there's a Brownlow vote there.
No.
No,
agree. With that scoreline.
But, geez, if you had have said after, two rounds, Hinkley's under less pressure than Lyon, this year at the start of the season.
Yep.
It would have been a bet that I would have taken because I would have thought it's home and hose.
No, they're looking great.
Yeah, and it's no surprise. It looks like we're completely wrong about Port.
And also, any optimism about Freo, misplaced.
100%.
I think optimistic Fife could end up in a Tigers game.
Mate, he won't. If this continues, it'll be a captain move out.
Well, like you said, they did say, the results might mean, if he stays or if he goes. Jesus Christ, I think they're already packing in the bags for him.
Yeah.
And they're like, sorry, Fife, we don't deserve you.
Can you bet on it?
You think there's 21 other players going, fuck the cunt.
The virgin.
Want him out of here.
Well, there's at least one ex-player anyway. All right, so that'll wraps up the round two, the nine games. So we'll have a quick look at round three going ahead.
I'm super pumped for this round. I think it'll be fantastic.
Okay, we'll start with the Swans sitting in 15th. Versus
crazy.
Collingwood sitting at 11th.
And that's what I like.
Both 0-2. Yep.
Which means Sydney have something to prove at home.
Well, don't they? I mean, Sydney are going to come out and they're going to absolutely thump Collingwood.
Yeah.
Because the next 2 weeks they've got GWS and West Coast. And if Sydney lose this, 0-5 is a
tough.
Real chance.
Yeah. But
there's no chance that Sydney loses this.
I don't think so
no
either.
Chance.
I think they'll make a statement. And I think that statement will be, fuck you.
Yeah.
we could see another 100-point drubbing. Which I want to see Bucks' optimism after that.
I think Buddy's got 10 in him.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that who matches up on Buddy from that team? I don't know who put on there.
So all three of us are tipping an absolute Sydney whitewash.
Yep.
They're probably fucked then.
Yeah. I think Goldsack maybe.
Pushing the odds out for us.
No, you've got to have three or four people running off him.
Yeah, yeah.
North hosting GWS down in Tassie, like you said. Mumford versus Bruce.
That's the highlight. I'm willing to say that GWS will go in probably $1.03 favourites. Even though North have got a reasonable record down in Bloodstone, it'll be, irrelevant, essentially.
Do you remember the game last year? Was it Gornet versus
Goldstein,
when they had that massive fucking wind?
Yeah. It made the game pointless.
Well, it made the game interesting.
Well, the West Coast one was the biggest wind before.
But this one, it made it interesting because it was just so different because we don't see that anymore.
Yeah.
But that was, I think it was 120 to 130 then scores being something stupid like that.
Yeah.
So I hope we just get a clear day.
Yeah.
And see some skills.
Ironically, you could get better weather down there than up at the Gabba.
Yeah, well.
It's true.
Because I think Giants are going to do it easy. But if it's a clear day, I think we'll actually get to see more of the run and carry that we've seen from North. And they can actually, again, honourable losses... Maybe, a backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
But as long as you see that endeavour from them, you're going to be happy.
I don't think Giants will do it easy. I do believe they will do it. But I think watching Taron on Cameron, I think it'll be a fantastic watch-up. Without Patton there, he's still going to be injured, I think.
I think so.
Yeah. It's going to be fantastic to watch that.
Let's be honest, they'll send him down to Tassie.
Yeah, and then
fuck that.
Yeah. Heath Shaw, who's probably going to be standing on either Brown or
Higgins.
Yeah.
I reckon he goes to Higgins.
Oh, maybe.
I think Brown. You're going to send Phil Davis to Brown.
Yeah, I'd say
you
so.
Have to.
He's going to be, and he'll obviously in the air can't beat him.
But if Goldstein does come back, Prius will be down there as well, or Goldstein. So one of them's going to pick him up. I don't know. I do kind of hope that Goldstein takes another week off, just because we want him right, and I don't want him fucking injured for any extensive period.
Yeah,
tanking, going for draft picks. That's all that's happening there. Richmond are hosting West Coast at the MCG.
This is going to be a great one too.
I'll tell you what, if Richmond get up over this one, forget about it.
The bandwagon is in full effect.
They're going to burn down the MCG.
The thing is, I actually think it's possible. I think they're going to win this. I'm tipping Richmond here.
I think it's possible. There's no way I'm tipping Richmond.
Yeah. No, I'm on it. I could see Dusty just fending off every fucker in the whole team and the first few rows as well.
I think we're going to be tough to find an answer for Kennedy kicking goals down back there. It's going to be...
you got Rance. You got the only man.
We've got Rance, but I mean, behind that, there's not a whole lot else.
I'm seeing Nankivis having a day out.
Gaff down there as well, and it's going
to
be tough.
Well, lack of big men, to me, hurts West Coast.
Doesn't it? Yeah. I think Jonathan Giles isn't really the most cerebral of the ruckman that going around, and that's saying something.
I'd love to see Richmond go tall, put all of them in there, put Marriott back in there, Choll.
See, I think Richmond are going to get this one.
Hopefully a bit of change up of weather as well might help us out. I think it's a clear day. It's going to be tough because West Coast skills are pretty slick.
Once they get that.
Yeah, so hopefully a bit of drizzle, a bit of something to make it interesting, and I think we've got a shot.
All I'm saying is if Richmond get up, Hardwick's going to sign a contract that day.
Yeah.
I reckon he won't even get to the Channel 7 interview before he signs it.
Do you reckon his agent will be Mickey Martin? No, Mickey Malloy.
Mick Malloy would be his agent.
Yeah, Mick Martin as an agent would be pretty shit.
I think
Mick Malloy as an agent probably work well for him.
If they win this game and Mick Malloy is his agent, Tigers are broke. They've just got themselves out of debt. They're going back in.
So we'll mortgage the clubhouse.
And Mick Malloy gets a job as assistant coach or something.
Geelong are hosting Melbourne at Etihad. Melbourne just won a game there 2 weeks ago, so they finally figured out the ground.
Yep. I think this is a belter too.
This is a cracker.
I think it was.
Lewis
and Hogan out really hurts Melbourne. Yep. I think it absolutely crucifies them.
It's just killed Mark Startman, and hopefully, but yeah. Melbourne and those kids stand up, but it's tough to stand up against that Geelong squad. Yeah. So
no, I still see Gawn as, had a moderate week before, but I think he'll just kill McAvoy.
He needs to.
Blitz Arbs and whoever else is rucking
Stanley.
There.
Stanley. Yeah, I don't think Smith is back. Did he play last week?
Don't think so.
I don't think Zach Smith played, yeah. Which would be better for Geelong, obviously. But, Gawn's their chance.
Yeah, and look, you need the kids to step up. Oliver to keep on putting his best foot forward, but it's going to be an uphill battle.
Against Selwood and Dangerfield.
Is Bernie Vince back?
I'm not sure.
I believe he only had a 1 week, so I think he is back.
I think so. Well, they need him because Lewis is gone, and there's one of your great distributors. And Hogan's obviously your target, so... Maybe it's the big, the homeless dude. What's his name? Spencer, up forward in the goal square.
Yep.
But still, I mean, Mackie and Lonergan are going to absolutely devour that forward line.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a good game. I do think Geelong will probably have a bit too many guns, but I think it's going to be another one of those decided in the final 5 minutes sort of games, which I'm really looking forward to.
I hope so. I see it the other way. I think Geelong are going to run over him. But yeah, if it's still alive in the final 5 minutes, I mean, that's all you can ask for.
Yep.
On to the showdown number, who gives a fuck?
1v2,
Port versus Adelaide. I think it's dumb to say this is match of the round. It's quite obvious, but Jesus Christ, this is going to burn Adelaide.
It's going to be standing room only.
It's going to be amazing.
There'll be that many people lining up for an $8 West End. It'll be astounding. It's going to set the town afire. It'll be fantastic.
I don't get worked up for showdowns like the whole state does.
Yeah.
But this one, I'm disappointed that I won't be able to watch it.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I think the Crows get over the line, but it's not a certainty, and it's going to be...
Not by any stretch.
Well, I'm tipping Crows too, but I think it's going to be a fantastic game, as they always are with showdowns, with such pride on the line.
I think if Jenkins plays, the Crows are guaranteed. If he doesn't, it's toss a coin.
I think they'll just play into Port's game plan, won't it? Because they'll be able to try and run off their feet and not have to worry about losing in the air.
And again, Jacobs will be the key.
Yeah.
In the ruck. Jeez, rucks. We said at the start of the year, rucks are going to be so important this year with the changing rules. And it's turning out that way.
We were right, so near.
The bottom side, Frio, got the Bulldogs visiting. And Bulldogs lost their last trip over to Domain Stadium to play Frio. No, they're not losing this one.
This will be an absolute bloodbath.
Yeah, I think Bulldogs still haven't got out of... Well, actually, no, they played well last Friday night. Yeah, I think they've been churning up for this one.
Yeah, no, yeah, I won't cry for this one. This is the second bloodbath this week I'm tipping, and I'll be happy to watch both of them.
Saints hosting Brisbane Lions. Saints are looking for their first win, and so are the Lions. So we've got a 0-2 versus 0-2.
But I think this game also promises a fair bit, because both teams have shown bits.
Absolutely they have.
Yep.
But I think this will be one that either team thinks is gettable, and both will really depend on that second tier of player finding another gear.
Well,
so we could see a player emerge for this season in this game.
The Saints are coming back from Perth from last week.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see how they run out at the end of the game. But yeah, it's gettable for Brisbane. I'm tipping the Saints, but it's still gettable.
So I'm going Brisbane. I think they'll do an upset. I think Saints are the better team, but I think Brisbane are going to want it more.
See, I think Saints will get over the line only because of that sort of Etihad advantage that they'll have over them. I think that'll be it, yeah.
Carlton and Essendon at the MCG. It's going to be good, this one. It's going to be a big crowd because Essendon are up and about. Even though it's a Carlton home game, I think Essendon fans might outnumber them.
Yeah.
Again, I think this could be a cracker.
Yeah, I think that Essendon are going to have too much class.
I think so too, but... either way, if Carlton get up, and it's because they've deserved it, and they'll have earned their first win, where it's Essendon get up, well, they're kind of back in it.
So yeah. I think this game will lack class, and that's why it'll be entertaining.
Maybe so. But either way, as long as it's a nice, tight, hard-fought contest, I'll be happy.
Sure, do you remember that it was Carlton Frio last year? It was the worst game of football ever.
Yep.
And it was so funny, it was watchable.
Yeah, I remember the last half was actually quite entertaining.
I won't complain if that happens again.
Yep.
And finally, Gold Coast are hosting Hawthorn. Gold Coast are every fucking chance.
Yep, so they really are.
To me, this is only the least looking forward to game of the round, I'd say. But even so, anything can happen, especially up there at Metricon, where there's every chance
could be underwater.
Whole ground might be fucking lost or something. I don't know.
Well, contested marks is where Hawthorn got killed last week, and it's the one thing that Gold Coast can actually do.
Yep.
This is such a danger game for Hawthorn. And if they lose it, that's 0-3. With tough weeks coming, it's not looking good for the old Hawkers. Although somehow I think Clarkson's going to be safe for another year.
I think he'll be right. Yeah,
but it'll still be a watchable game.
You think? So? Oh, yeah,
it'll be the least watchable of the round. But when you've got
dangerously close to it,
when you've got eight other absolute crackers, you can afford to give yourself a bit of a shitty dessert.
Both teams again on 0-2. I think if Rockett's coaching for his career just about already.
Yeah.
Even though Gold Coast don't really have the money to pay him out, at some stage the AFL is going to force their hand again.
Yeah.
Geez, they'd have to be looking at this one as we've got a chance now, and they've never beaten Hawthorn, so
really
they got a real chance. And Hawthorn will have a few more outs too. I think broken jaw to Birchall, and Shields Smith both got knocks during the game.
Shit.
So again, I'm going to tip Hawthorn, but would not be surprise me one bit. If Gold Coast got up.
I think Hawthorn going over the line, but like you said, anything can happen.
All right, that'll do it for round three.
Be a fantastic weekend, so, set it all aside, watch the footy.
Yeah, sure.
Have a great one.
Bye.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.